A reading from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come that shall be revealed in us. For the expectation of the creature waiteth for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that made it, subject in hope. Because the creature also itself shall be delivered from the servitude of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that every creature groaneth and travaileth in pain, even till now. And not only it, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption of the sons of God, the redemption of our body, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, when the multitude pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesareth, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And going up into one of the ships that was Simon's, he desired him to draw back a little from the land, and sitting, he taught the multitudes out of the ship. Now when he had ceased to speak, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said to him, "Master, we have labored all the night, and have taken nothing, but at thy word I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a very great multitude of fishes, and their net broke, and they beckoned to their partners that were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they were almost sinking. Which when Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was wholly astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were Simon's partners. And Jesus saith to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And having brought their ships to land, leaving all things, they followed him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Now we'll pray our prayer for vocations. Let us ask God to give worthy priests, brothers, and sisters to his holy church.
O God,
we earnestly beseech thee to bless this diocese with many priests, brothers, and sisters who will love thee with their whole strength and gladly spend their entire lives to serve thy church and to make thee known and loved. Bless our families, bless our children. Choose from our homes those who are needed for thy work. Mary, Queen of the Clergy,
pray for us.
Pray for our priests and religious. Obtain for us many more. Two mass announcements. First, happy Father's Day to all dads. And second, next Sunday, we will be celebrating Father Heilman's 60th birthday with a picnic on his lawn. The picnic will begin at noon and food will be served at 1 p.m. Please bring a dish to pass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Once again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. It's probably a good day to speak a little bit about vocations. I won't speak so much about marriage today. I'll speak about the call to the priesthood and consecrated life, kind of related vocational topic. I bring it up because in the gospel today in Luke, I thoroughly enjoy these dialogues between Jesus and Peter. It's Jesus talking to his church very early on. Right, Jesus is in the boat, and the boat represents the church. So we see throughout the Gospels when Jesus speaks to Peter, there's this very intimate message to the church as he's forming his church. In this case, kind of the moral of the story is that Jesus is not interested in perfection at the moment. He's interested in sincerity. It's often a danger in the spiritual life. We think we must march to absolute perfection, and of course we want to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. But what the Lord asks most is sincerity. We think of Matthew's call by the Lord, the tax collector Matthew. He wasn't perfect in the moment, ready and all formed to be the perfect apostle. He came with sincerity, and that's what the Lord sought. So I'll go through five of these lines from the gospel today and then reflect on the vocational call. First, Jesus says, launch out into the deep and lay down and let down your nets. It reflects the sense of the grandeur and mission of the vocation, in this case, the priesthood and consecrated life. The deep represents the deep questions of life for us. And you've probably seen the recent suicides out there of famous people. I think a very famous chef with a TV show and a designer, I think, of women's clothing or purses or something. And we see these two very famous people committed suicide. And it makes us realize, I mean, we recognize the mental illness aspect of it, but there's a part of me that says it's extremely risky to ask the deep questions of life. What am I about? Where am I going? What is the meaning of life? One pursues all the worldly pursuits and becomes world-weary at the end. There is no hope without God. If one asks those questions early on in faith, it leads to great results, such as the priesthood. Danger, beware. Do not open readily the deep questions of life. When the Lord asks, as in this case, in this gospel, it is irresistible. One cannot resist when the Lord asks, not out of his force, but out of his beauty. It is extremely, you just can't resist. This is something parents often don't understand. You know, let's say a son or daughter, son has called up, let's say, priesthood, daughter to consecrated life. It is not the work of the priesthood or the work in consecrated life that draws the son or daughter. It is the relationship. There are things that parents don't readily understand, such as that vocational call. The parents' natural responsibility ultimately must give way to the supernatural call when it is authentic. Even if the parents favor the vocational call of their child, there will be a part they don't understand, and it's okay to live in that mystery. The second line, Peter says, Master, we have labored all the night and have taken nothing. I see men interested in the seminary who often tried other pursuits in life, including me, with little satisfaction. I remember, maybe I've told you this story before, when I was in business, I was with a real estate developer in Las Vegas, and we were up in one of his towers that were being built. He took me up to like the 15th floor, and he's looking out over the suburbs of Las Vegas, and he says, well, that's where Howard Hughes, he owned all this ring of land and all this. And he was kind of the old developer speaking to me, the young guy, when I was in my 20s, kind of pondering about all of his life and what he had done. Very successful real estate developer. And I don't think he ever realized it. My thought in that moment is, I don't want to end up like that. I wouldn't want to be him. Now, that's a bit presumptuous and judgmental. You could have a very good family and did a lot of good work for the community, so I'm not saying it's bad, but it was bad for me. There was something in it that said, that's all there is. and amassing more office buildings, I do not want to end up with only that. I didn't know it yet, but it was a vocational call in very embryonic form. Third line, Peter says, "But at thy word, I will let down the nets." Letting down the nets is the key response. It's the one of humility. Just as the most important part of prayer is approaching it in humility before the Lord and in honesty, it's the most important element of a vocational call. I often see with seminarians, it's only natural. You put a bunch of guys together in a seminary, there could be a little competition along the way, right? The importance of measuring up, right, amongst one's peers, it usually focuses on the liturgy and rubrics, you know, for early seminarians, early priests, it's doing all those things very correctly, which, you know, shows good motivation, and there's a certain importance to it, of course, but the critical element is humility before the Lord. It's the only way you'll grow in the spiritual life. Fourth line, Peter, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Oh, how beautiful, Peter says. So succinct, it rings through the ages. The experience of the fishing transforms into relationship with the Savior. It's very wise to begin our daily prayer this way. "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." It's so honest, the prayer of humility. It's like St. Thomas, the apostle, saying, "My Lord and my God," after wanting to see the hands and the side. In the greatest difficulties, truth comes in a sharp relief, as it does for Peter. This is the hook. When Peter makes this statement, he's got a vocation. When he says, "Depart from me, Lord, I am a sinful man," he's got it. And it's the great evidence. Jesus moves very quickly with it. Later, when Peter denies Jesus in the passion, in Jesus' passion, how did Peter comfort himself alone for those days before the Lord's resurrection? What did he fall back on? Probably in pondering his failure, which is a very good spiritual exercise, he must have thought of this moment and how the Lord accepted Peter so readily in the midst of Peter's reticence to lower the nets. "Okay, Lord, I'll lower the nets." Lowers the nets. "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." He must have thought of this in great comfort, sincerity, and humility. And he was ready for the Lord when the Lord came back to him. Last word, Jesus, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Jesus uses our background to draw us. He can use our family, our occupation, being a fisherman, our struggles, our personality, all those things are his ingredients for his recipe to make a vocation. It's very beautiful. Finally, Luke, the gospel writer, says, "And having brought their ships to land, leaving all things, they followed him." There will be something that will cut deep when one has a vocation. There will be a cross. There will be a sacrifice. Seminarians, novices, often think when it comes during seminary, during the novitiate, "Oh, this is a contradiction. Maybe I am not called to this," right? "There is a stumbling block. There is some difficulty. Maybe this isn't for me." They have to work through that because it's usually a sign of confirmation. There must be the cross. There must. Seminarian sees a gal and thinks she's attractive and he thinks, "Well, then it's not for me." You know, it's going to happen the rest of your life. This is a time to strengthen oneself in resolve for celibacy for the priesthood, for example. It can be other types of suffering. A family that just doesn't understand, even a Catholic family. A family that treats the son's vocation more as an occupation. Well, if that's what you want to do with your life, then go ahead and do it. If it makes you happy, then go ahead and do it. Right? I'm not too concerned, just as long as you're happy. No religious fervor in supporting the vocation. Or a world that is antagonistic. He or she is throwing their life away. There goes another pedophile priest, right? That's the world. Maybe even more subtle. They had to wait to bring their ships into land before following Jesus. There's a certain patience there. They had to wait to get to shore. The perfection of charity as a priest or religious takes time. Saints are made, not born. As St. Gregory the Great says, he seeks a fall who aspires to mount to the summit by overpassing the steps. Sometimes a new seminary, a new novice, wants to be very beautifully, so perfect, so quickly. The Lord usually does not work that way. He works the way of nature, of his nature, in which things blossom slowly. To hurry is to delay God. As we celebrate the Eucharist today, we ask our Lord to give us many vocations from beautiful families, and that those vocations may be strong and pure and resilient. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.